The Escape Plan on Olivet, The Prophecy of Jesus that ties together all other prophecies here on 153 Great Podcasts.
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Oh, closer.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Here we are again, talking about the escape plan on Olivet, the central prophecy for all Christians. This particular prophecy by Jesus from the Mount of Olives ties together every Old Testament prophecy, and it uses the book of Revelation and Paul's teachings and Thessalonians and Peter and 1 Peter, ties them all together, and that's why I'm talking about it. Isn't it great that the Lord would make sure that we would know what the signs are that would let us know that we have entered into great tribulation? Last time I said that the great tribulation was a period of about 3.5 years. Now, whether you believe in 7 years or 3.5 years as the final portion of Daniel's 70th week, that's up to you. That's not the key thing. The key thing is that Jesus wanted us to know that we were in the Great Tribulation and what the signs were. And so what I'm going to do is I'm first going to read today Paul's discourse to this to the church at Thessalonica that thought they had entered into Great Tribulation, and they were worried about it after he had taught them about it. So I'm going to read these scriptures, about 12 verses, so be patient. As Paul describes the secret that we all need to know. Let's begin. Now, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has arrived and is present. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away, that is the great apostasy, comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness, chaos, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume and destroy with the breath of his mouth, with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be damned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul gives the secret here by expounding what he has learned from the Olivet Discourse and through his own revelation of Jesus Christ. That is Matthew 24. Now, this church thought they were in great tribulation in Thessalonica, in Asia Minor, because they were under such great persecution. They thought they were enduring the time of Jacob's trouble, even though they were outside of Jerusalem. First, the day of the Lord needs to be explained. Many times in the Old Testament and in the New, the day of Christ, the day of return, the day of his wrath, the day of vengeance, the time of unparalleled world trouble, war, famine, plague, and the time Israel will be near annihilation by the locust horde of Joel chapters 2 and 3. The day of the Lord is simply the same thing on all these definitions. Now, the day of the Lord has two edges to it. Edge one is salvation for the Jews and for the rapture of the church. And side two is the destruction, the judgment of the world and apostate Jews and Gentiles. But Paul tells this church, Thessalonica, who are being persecuted in Asia Minor, that two key signs are missing. So the Great Tribulation cannot have kicked off. The two signs are a great apostasy or falling away from the truth, and groupthink. In other words, all these people will be deceived. They'll stop assembling themselves together. They'll be deceived by a great lie, even though there's signs and wonders. Signs, wonders, healings, miracles, if they're not accompanied by the truth of salvation and the truth of who Jesus is, they lie. They're called lying signs and wonders. Then the second key thing is the Antichrist. This is the sign of the man who claims to be Jesus, reincarnated. This will bring the time of chaos, lawlessness. Apparently in Revelation 6, he rides a white horse of peace, but he's going to be taking down the stones. Every stone of the temple, the church, will be cast down. Denominations, leadership, everything that comes under his umbrella will be cast down. But there's going to be a remnant that will remain, that will stay true. So Paul warns that this man of sin will bring these signs, these lying signs, to those people who do not love the truth of God's word. They will slavishly follow him out of love of the familiar, love of people, as opposed to love of truth. We have to love God first and his truth. And then we should love our brothers as ourselves, but never love our brothers before the truth. So when Paul talks about truth, he's not talking about accepting Jesus as your personal savior. He's not talking about declaring that Jesus is Lord or some of the things that people are doing today. He's not talking about seven sacraments. He's not talking about taking communion. He's not talking about any of those things. He's talking about the Acts 2:38 gospel, which is from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. This church, this false church, will hate the true church because of the name of Jesus. If you take the name of Jesus in waters of baptism, you've had your sins remitted, every one of you, Acts 2:38. However, if you've been baptized in titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you have a no-name baptism. And that will be one of the key hallmarks of this Antichrist and his false church. Now also, the true church will follow the doctrine of Christ, found in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Those who are under delusion will simply believe Satan's counterfeits. This is what Paul's warning about. Now, Paul says this again in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. Let me read that to you. Paul says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God, or I speak to please men? For if I have yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The Antichrist will not be successful in subduing those who love the truth, that Acts 2:38, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 truth, death, burial, resurrection, repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus, infilling of the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in tongues. That's the death, burial, resurrection. And let me warn you, many people will speak in tongues in the last days, but they will not have the love of truth, because true worship must be comprised of two things, spirit and truth. We find this in John 4, 23 through 24. This is what Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now it's here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. A strong delusion comes when signs, miracles, wonders occur in someone's ministry, but the truth of salvation is not preached alongside it. That's the mechanism of deception, delusion, and this is what the Antichrist will use to take down weak believers who associate power with authenticity versus the hearing of truth being confirmed by power. That provides authenticity. The most vulnerable people are those who are fixated and obsessed with feeling the Spirit versus hearing what the Spirit says. This is the root of delusion. Jesus tells us multiple times in the book of Revelation, he tells us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He never says, feel what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Without truth, we cannot be true worshipers. We're only deceived worshipers, ready to follow the signs of a liar. Now, to conclude this particular episode, I want to say that the current plague, the virus, the takedown that's happening throughout our culture by stopping church assembly, by stopping us meeting, stopping us from laying out of hands, stopping us from worshiping together, is that this is getting us ready for preparation for the Great Tribulation. One of the takedowns, one of the signs of apostasy is when people stop fellowshipping. We must not do this. Listen, we need to practice. We need to be safe. We need to not infect one another with any plague. But I want you to know that war in Revelation 6 brings plague, not plague bringing war. So when the Great Tribulation kickoff starts, I've given you the two signs that you will see: the apostasy, the falling away, and the Antichrist being revealed. Now, here's my last question for you today. Just consider, if your leader gets on Facebook Live, or you assemble and go to a meeting, and he tells you, or she tells you, "I know the identity of the Antichrist," would you be able to identify the signs, the attributes that Scripture declares that the Antichrist will have? Hey, thanks for listening today. We'll see you in the next episode here. You've been listening to The Escape Plan on Olivet, the prophecy of Jesus that ties together all other prophecies here on 153 Great Podcasts. More content at 153greatpodcasts.com.